You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, this is Colton Molesky, your host for, almost 2 years now of the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we have a lot to talk about. That's why I'm bringing a weekend edition here to you, a little Sunday podcasting for you. We have a lot to talk about as far as the Timberwolves looking for a head coach. I also have some stuff to talk about the draft. Looks like the Timberwolves might have committed to a player already. What? Okay, we'll get to all of that. First, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the draft lottery stuff, some of the buzz around that. Mostly, my main concern is that we might have taken it a little too far with the draft or the player empowerment era that we're in the midst of. Right after the lottery, you didn't hear a lot from Zion. There was talk about people, should he go to the Pelicans? Should he back out of the draft and go back to Duke or go to Europe and to avoid the Pelicans so he can go to a bigger team? Should he just say, no, I'm not going to the Pelicans even if he gets drafted there, and force them into some sort of trade? Do that right now before the draft even happens so that they have to trade away the pick? All of this is ridiculous, first of all, because if you're the Pelicans and if you're Zion, you should want to go to the Pelicans over any of these other teams. I get that as a smaller market, but first of all, you have the chance to be a guy that saves a team in a small market and be like a Russell Westbrook, put this team not only in the conversation for the playoffs, but also put this team on the map. I would think that's pretty attractive. I know that there's this whole mystique to playing for the Knicks in the Garden, but come on. Come on. Why would you want to play for a terribly mismanaged team like the Knicks or like the Cavaliers for that matter? Because what have the Cavs done without LeBron? If you're looking at just bad teams to play for, and you have an opportunity to convince Davis to come back, you still could play with Drew Holiday. These are good players. You're not getting these types of players with the Knicks. And furthermore, this dude is 18 years old. Why do we want him to dictate so much about the NBA? Why don't we just want him to get into the NBA, learn the system, and start getting reps under his belt? Why don't we just want him to be in the league and enjoy him playing in the NBA? Why do we need him to all of a sudden try and swing these franchises by the nipples in certain directions? I don't understand why people are asking for this. Now, there has been some stuff on Twitter. I mean, it's not like Zion is coming out and actually affirming any of this. This is mostly people saying what he should do or speculating on what he could do. And it sounds, I mean, it feels like Zion's a pretty team-friendly guy who is going to be a great locker room dude no matter where he ends up. And so I think this probably ends up working out for the Pelicans anyways. But I'm just saying, why are people asking for this in the first place? Why do people want this to happen? Why does anybody want Zion to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to the Pelicans. I get that we want to have stuff on the side of the players, and we don't want the players to be taken advantage of. But at the same time, like, we also have to have a functioning system. If you can't get stars, if you're a small market team and you can't get stars through free agency, the draft is your route. If we start neutralizing the draft in favor of this player empowerment era that we seem to, I'm putting quotations of this player empowerment era that we seem to be in, then we're not really giving teams, I mean, you might as well fold if you're a team like the Pelicans or the Hawks or the Cavs, to Timberwolves for that matter as well. I mean, if you can't build through the draft, you might as well fold. And I know that this new draft system has been built so that you're not encouraging tanking, and a team like the Pelicans that actually did have some wins got a better draft pick than a team like the Knicks, whose entire goal this season was to lose and ended up with under 20 wins this season. And so I get that side of it, that you don't want to encourage putting out the absolute worst possible product. I understand that side of it, but if we're neutralizing the entire draft anyways and players are just going to pick and choose what teams they want to be on, this is really going to start to be a dark place for 50% of the NBA. Or maybe not, but still, there's going to be like 10 teams that just doesn't have a reason to do anything in basketball anymore if this is the NBA we're all signing up for. So before you say, oh, poor Zion, or before you say, hey, he shouldn't want to go to a small market team, or before you think that he should try and pull out a draft and make this thing weird, yeah, I get it would be content, it would be interesting, it would really pull you and rope you in before the draft if you don't aren't into prospecting for this new NBA talent coming in, or if you don't want to watch workouts in Chicago. I get that that might be entertaining, but before you think about any of that, just think about that the Timberwolves, if the Timberwolves don't have the draft, then there's probably not a reason to have a Timberwolves team, because tell you what, bringing in Jimmy Butler was one of the biggest free agent moves that they made, and that wasn't even free agency, that was a trade. That was a guy deciding to come here, and he actually pushed his way out. So without the draft, the Timberwolves aren't really a team. And there's a few other teams that aren't really a team in basketball if you don't have the draft. And so if we start neutralizing that side of this, then we start to lose 30, 50% of this league. And that's weird. That's a weird thing to be pulling for. That's a weird thing to be voting for. If you're a fan of the NBA, if you're a fan of basketball, it's very strange. I don't know why people are so on board with this, and on board with him, with Zion trying to back out of the draft like this. It's concerning, because this is, again, I'm all for giving the player some power and having their CBA have some sway and some pull, and actually be giving these players some real weight to throw around as far as what's happening with basketball, what's happening with their contracts. But there is a point where it becomes too one-sided. And you also have to be thinking about these franchises and the fan bases, and giving every fan base a reason to show up for games. And that has to be a side of this as well. And sometimes I think it's easy to forget about that side. Sometimes reporters and broadcasters and former players who are speaking out about this stuff forget about that side. But it needs to be remembered. We're going to take a break for some sponsors. Then let's get into all the Timberwolves-specific news. First, your sponsors. Colt Molesky, your host. More Timberwolves talk coming up. I guess not more. I'm talking about a little bit about NBA stuff. But now let's talk about some Timberwolves specific stuff. So the first thing I wanted to cover was the coaching search. And the Timberwolves still looking for, if you've missed this, still looking for a coach. If you didn't see, Woj tweeted he tweeted it out, and he also put something up on ESPN where the Timberwolves are looking at interviewing a couple guys. Miami's Juwan Howard, Portland's David Vanderpool are two of the guys on that list. Also, of course, Ryan Saunders is a big part of this coaching search. But I really like that through all this, it sounds like Rosas, the new president of basketball operations, is a really big part of this and really the centerpiece of who's going to be making this call, who's going to be finding this guy in the centerpiece of the interviews. Going to have a big say in the final decision. I like that. I said from the beginning, you gotta bring in the front office guys first and then let them make the decision on the head coach and let them make that call, because then it's them riding with their guy versus this mashup of, oh, the owner put together all these guys with this head coach and this coaching staff, and now they've got to work it out even though they're kind of zigging when the other is zagging and not seeing eye to eye on different things and not really having the same team direction in mind. I like that it still feels like this is a heavy Saunders race just from the reports you see, from the way all these guys are looking at it. It still seems like Saunders is the favorite. So be it. I voiced my issues with Saunders just as much as I've voiced the things I've liked about what he did with the Timberwolves in that half a season. And I think there's some real potential there. I know that the locker room seems to be really behind him. And so if they hire Saunders, more power to him. I just want it to be something that everybody is on board for so that this ship can move forward as one. It feels like this has been a very divided place for a few years now. So if they're all making the decision on Saunders, more power to them. I want everybody moving in the same direction on this. As far as the other guys, I'd really love to have the Vanderpool. I think he would actually be a pretty decent head coach too. I think bringing over some of the – because that's the thing too, is that I would love to bring over – Rosas came over. I really like the idea of some of the way that he was approaching free agency with Houston and team, the way they built the team in Houston, bringing some of that over to maybe rub off on the Timberwolves. If we can bring over some of the Portland stuff or Vanderpool and some of the way ways he's looking at offenses and the way he's looking at attacking opposing defenses, if they're looking at, or not that he's trying to make this a Portland 2.0, but just bring in some of those ideas. Well, that's what you want. You want a little bit of a melting pot if you're bringing in a new head coach. And as far as the organizations, those are two franchises that are going to the playoffs a lot. And so I really like the ideas of mixing and matching those two around a franchise that's going to be centered with towns. And so that could be really interesting. Again, Saunders is somebody that I would be fine with as well. Juwan Howard, I don't know. I mean, Miami's had a pretty solid system for the most part for the last few years. I'm not sure. I mean, it could probably work out. I'm more excited about Vanderpool or Saunders, to be honest with you. And that's just gut reaction more than anything else. But I think that those are two guys who could potentially move the franchise forward. I like Saunders and how he's developed a Kogi and how he handles the locker room. And I like the idea of some of the Portland stuff being brought over and maybe applied to not only how the Timberwolves are looking at offense, but how they're looking at free agency, him coming in and talking with the front office and saying, look, you know how to manage it, build a roster, and these are some guys that I think could really work well together on a roster with what we're trying to do around towns. And so I like a couple of these guys that they're looking into. I'm holding with bated breath on who the Timberwolves are going to grab as a head coach, and we will see. I will be here for it, and we will be breaking it all down when it happens, but that's the latest information I have on the subject. Another thing, too, that is interesting is I saw some tweets. I forget who they were from. I was on Twitter, some NBA guys that follow. I apologize. I saw on Twitter, I forget who it was, so I can't credit the source, but some different people saying that they saw or heard some buzz about Minnesota possibly at the combine hearing a commitment to Rui Hachimura. Here, let me not butcher this. Rui Hachimura. And they, of course, the front court, the forward out of Gonzaga. And that is interesting. If he's available, of course, at pick 11, which is where the Timberwolves are in the first round. I've seen comparisons that he's like a Derek Williams 2.0. I've seen some stuff that he's, for my way of thinking, he seems like a more sturdy and solid P.J. Washington, more of a half-court version, a bigger version of P.J. Washington. It really feels like, you know what it almost feels like is a makeup pick for the Timberwolves, for the Timberwolves' last draft pick. And it feels like, I don't know, they need guard help so bad. They need guard help so, so bad. And I would really love, it really seems like that Darius Garland is probably not going to be there. Kobe White's probably not going to be there. I really still think that Kevin Hunter could be could be a guy that could help this Timberwolves team out. He seems like he would be a pretty decent combo guard, and that he could come in and at least give them some defense, give them some different looks on offense. I don't know if he'd exactly destroy the or burn defenses down, but I think that he could be an interesting piece on offense. I don't know. I'm going to have to watch more film. I'm going to be honest. I didn't see a ton of Gonzaga games throughout the year, but I definitely will watch more film. I have seen some stuff on him, and while I think Hachimura is a decent player and could give the Timberwolves some different stuff, give them some different looks, be a nice piece for their depth as far as their front court, and maybe he could play off Towns. Maybe they're thinking of like a Taj Gibson replacement. I don't know. They really need wing help. They really need guard help because Derrick Rose is not going to be coming back. Tyus Jones isn't showing anything. And Jeff Teague has been so injury prone last season. And you don't know how much help you're going to get from him. So are you going to bank on him staying healthy the entire season? I don't know. It'd be really nice to get another guard just to get him some reps without having to without entrusting him to a crazy amount of minutes. It's weird for me to have them committing to somebody this quickly when there's so many variables, and if somebody drops all of a sudden, maybe you're trying to trade up four picks, three picks to grab somebody that's all of a sudden fallen a little bit. I don't know. To be honest, I'm a little set back by this just because it seems like it's a little bit of a jump too early, you know? It seems like they could have sat on this a little longer and gone for some different types of players. I think that this doesn't fix as many problems as maybe they're hoping. I think that there are players that they need more at different positions that could be more helpful. I know that the theory should always be to draft based on best talent available versus what you need, but I don't think that this guy exactly blows me off the page and off the highlight reel enough to where I think that he needs to be picked even though they need guard help. I just think that he's a solid player, but then he can get solid players in the guard positions as well. So I don't know. I'm going to be honest, if this is for real, I'm a little disappointed, a little bit. But also, you got to – this is a disappointing team, and new talent and new young guys are going to be crucial no matter what position they play. You're going to need to bring in more guys. You're going to need to bring in more young blood, and this is not – they're not going to fix everything with this draft or with this summer. And so they need to make a lot of moves. And I guess if they make this move, maybe they're fixed. Hopefully they're able to fix something, and it's going to be baby steps either way. Either way, it's going to be baby steps, and you just got to fix what you think you can fix right away with the options you have available. So I guess that's the one way to look at it, and one way to be positive about it. But going forward, it is a tad strange if this is in fact true. Again, this isn't confirmed by the team or anything, but this is the buzz coming out of the combine. So around the Timberwolves at least. So that's what I got for you guys. That's the information I have. Those are the takes I have. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.